Well, I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me how quickly I forget things. I'm not sure if you guys are as forgetful as I am, but I know a lot of us easily forget things, and kind of looked up some stuff online. I want to share with you the top five things in a poll that was taken. Top five things we most often forget, okay? Number one, 83% of the people polled said they forget names, okay? Anyone else in here? All right. I met some people this morning, and right now I'm trying to go, do I remember their names? I think I remember half of them. I don't remember all of them. But we forget names. The second thing, 60% of the people said they forget where something is, right? You know, where are my keys? Where is this? Where is that, right? We set something. My phone, what do I do with my phone, you know? Whatever it is, you know, it's the... Oh, yeah, I'm on my phone right now. How many times? Hey, where's my phone? Oh, there it is. It's right there in front of my face. It's not like the old days where it was always on the same place, on a wall with a cord, right? You know, where's the phones? Right there. Come on. No, so where something is was number two. Number three, now this was, I can tell that this poll was probably a little bit older. Forget telephone numbers. Nowadays, it's just plugged into your phone. You don't even have to be like, call my wife, you know, and it calls your wife or whatever. But telephone numbers, that was number three. Number four, we forget what was said, okay? 49% of the people said that. That means half of the people, which means 49% of the guys were being honest and 1% of them lied. Because it's always us guys, I'm sorry, honey, what was that you said? I was listening, but not really listening, you know? What was said, we forget that a lot. And then the fifth one at 42% was faces. People forget faces. I never forget a face, but no, that's not true. I found the older I get, the more I forget faces. I used to be able to remember faces all the time. Oh, yeah, fourth grade basketball, this team, that, whatever. I remembered everything, but I'm losing it now quickly. So anyways, those are the top five things we most often forget. And I think another thing that many people forget would be their New Year's resolutions, right? Their goals for the year. You know, we always start off in January with high expectations of doing things differently, right? Like, I'm going to exercise this year. I'm gonna go for it. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to eat healthier, right? Or I'm gonna read my Bible. I'm going to be able to check off every single day. I'm going to read my Bible. And somewhere, hopefully in February, maybe end of January, but somewhere in February or March, what we start to forget about these things. What? Oh, yeah, exercise. Oh, yeah, it's February. Let's see. Genesis 2. Apparently, I didn't get very far on here, right? But we have these high expectations, and oftentimes we begin to forget. And the reality is, we easily forget things in our lives. For instance, do any of you remember what I preached 5 weeks ago? I don't know either. I don't even remember, okay? So I don't remember either, but that's okay. We forget things so easily. The thing is, this seems to be a problem that's gone on for years. Not just us. This is happens throughout history. This morning I actually want to read to you a few scriptures that actually prove my point. I want to start off in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5. I'm gonna read these to you, and or read this to you. I think we have it to go up on the board and follow along, but let me read this to you and I'll explain why I picked this scripture. It says, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now think about this for a moment. I share this scripture because what an amazing experience this must have been. Not only to see Moses, to see Elijah, but to actually hear the voice of God. Could you imagine being there with Moses and Elijah and hearing the voice of God? You see, all throughout the scriptures, we see that the disciples heard and even saw miracle after miracle. But somehow in their flawed humanness, forgot the things that they had seen. Because listen to what happens later. After the disciples have gone through all these amazing things, Jesus has told them what's going to happen. Jesus has told them all this stuff. But Matthew 26:56 says this. This is after they came for Jesus. It says, "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." This doesn't sound like people who remembered all the amazing things, right? All the teaching, all the miracles. They forgot. And we see this happen frequently in the Bible. The Israelites are another great example of this. We saw it a little bit when we walked through our Joshua series. But let me read to you Psalm 106:10-13. It says this, "He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy he redeemed them." And this is speaking of God about the Israelites. It says, "The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived." Now this was when they had crossed the Red Sea, right? And they crossed, you know, on dry land. And they're like, yeah. And then they look, but the Egyptians are now coming across on dry land. They're like, oh no. But what happens? The water closes and destroys them all, right? And in verse 12 it says, "Then they believed his promises and sang his praise." They saw this amazing thing. Thank you, God, right? But then verse 13, "But they soon forgot what he had done, and they did not wait for his counsel." And if you jump to 106:21, it kind of reiterates this at the end. It says, "They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt." We so easily forget. Why do you think we so easily forget? And I know we're human, but it's amazing how quickly we forget things. Let me give you an example. An illustration I found online. It says, "After stopping for gas in Montgomery, Alabama, a man drove more than 5 hours before noticing he had left something behind. Or shall I say someone? His wife. 5 hours. So at the next town, he asked the police to help him get in touch with his wife. He got in touch with her and told her he was on his way back. He admitted to the police officers with great embarrassment that he just hadn't noticed her absence." Can you imagine? Well, I can only imagine the earful he got after he finally got back and picked up his wife. Right? The conversation going on in the car. "How could you forget me?" You know? Actually, I'm sorry. My wife always, I always make this horrible noise sound out of my mouth when I'm acting like my wife or acting like, you know, whatever. I'm sure it was more like, "Honey, how could you have done that to me?" Yeah. Right? Here's the thing. I share that illustration. It sounds crazy, right, that it took him 5 hours, right? 5 hours to realize that his wife wasn't there. But think about this. How often do we do the same thing with God? How often do we do the same thing with God throughout our day? How often do we find ourselves going through life only to realize that we've left Jesus behind? Only to realize that we've forgotten about Him? You see, the reality is we all easily forget. We all have a short attention span. You know, and some of us are worse than others, right, men? You know? My wife saying stuff. And yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. What did you just say? So how do we live life in a way that will help us not forget God, not forget all that He's done for us? Well, I want to share with you four things that the Lord put on my heart that I think that we need to remember. I'm sure there's more than this, but these are four things that I think will help us if we can remember this. Number one, we need to remember God created us for His purpose, not our own. He created us for His purpose, not our own. You see, when we forget about God, then we're not doing the things that God's called us to do. We're not fulfilling the purpose that He has for our lives. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you," right? Who has plans for us? I know a lot of times we have plans for us. Yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know. I was going to be a pro quarterback or a pro point guard, you know. That didn't happen for me, right? We think we have the plans, but who has plans for us? God has plans for us. The problem is oftentimes we try to do our own thing. We try to do it our way. So I think every day it's important that we ask ourselves, am I living for the Lord today? Is God with me? Or am I living for myself? Have I left Him behind? Because God created us for His purpose, not ours. And if we remember that, it will be hard for us to forget about Him. If we realize that everything we do should center around God and His desire for our lives, it'll be hard for us to forget about Him because we'll be constantly seeking Him and desiring to do His will in our lives. The second thing that I think we need to remember is this. The Word of God should be a part of who we are. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says this. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads," right? "Write them on the mirrors, on your refrigerators. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates." That part I threw in there, okay, that was paraphrasing. Basically, put them everywhere. The Word of God should be a part of our lives. And when we make the Word of God an everyday part of our lives, we can't help but be reminded of Him and all the things that He's done for us. We can't help but live life with Him by our side, instead of leaving Him behind, instead of forgetting about Him. You see, His Scripture is full, or His Word, excuse me, is full of Scriptures that remind us of Him, that point us back to Him. And if we have those Scriptures in our heart, then we'll be continually reminded of Him. It's those Scriptures like John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When we have that Scripture in our heart, we're reminded every day of His love for us. He loved us that much. Or 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we have that in our heart, it encourages us that when we fail, that He will forgive us, that He'll pick us up, He'll wipe us clean, right? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. When we have that scripture in our heart, it gives us strength when things don't go our way, right? Greater is he that's in me than the things that are coming against me in this world. It gives us strength and encouragement. Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we have that in our heart, it reminds us that He is our strength. When we feel weak, when my back is out, when I'm thinking, man, can I get up there and preach today? Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the list goes on and on. Scripture after scripture encourages us and helps us to remember who God is. The more we read His Word, the more we're reminded of Him and what He means to us. The Word of God should be a part of who we are. It should be hidden in our hearts. The third thing we need to remember, sorry that I didn't quite get it up there, third thing we need to remember is our need for God isn't limited to times of need or stress. Our need for God isn't limited to times of need or stress. You know, how often do we cry out to God when things are bad, right? God, I need you, help me. But then sometimes we act like we don't know Him or need Him when times are good. I'm all right, I got this. You can just hang back there. No problem. The reality is we always, always need God. In those times of stress or difficulty, we may feel like we need Him more. But the reality is we always need Him. He can't just be our lifeline that we go to when things are bad. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it this way, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It says there, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. You see, we need God to be a part of every aspect of our life. Not just when we're in need. Not just when we're struggling. You see, we do a good job of putting God in a box, right? And just pulling Him out when we need Him. Okay, God, I'm in trouble. I need you. Come here. Hello, God. Come here. That's how we respond at times, right? When we need Him, then we pull Him out of the box when it's convenient to us. But we have to realize we always need Him. And our life should reflect that, not just in times of need and stress. And then the fourth and final thing that we need to remember is this. We need to remember His continued faithfulness to us. His continued faithfulness to us. I often tell people, I used to tell my youth group all the time, that they should write down those times in their lives where God has done something amazing, where God has come through. I tell them, get a notebook or a journal, right? You know, if you don't like the term journal, you guys, just get a notebook, okay? I don't journal, I'm a guy. Fine, get a notebook or a piece of paper, I don't care, whatever you want to call it. But get a notebook or a journal and write these things down. Write the things that God does for you, especially in the difficult times, when you've come out of difficult times, when you've experienced a miracle, when God's come through for you in ways that you never experienced. Write these things down so that when you're facing difficult times later on, you can pull this journal out, you can pull this notebook out, and you can begin to read through them and be encouraged by God's faithfulness. You can look at it and realize God brought you through back then. He's still God today, and He's going to bring you through now as well. I can't tell you how many times when I am in the midst of trials or struggles that the Lord reminds me of times in my past where He's helped me through similar situations. When we remember these things, it reminds us that God has come through for us in the past and that He will come through for us again. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. See, the thing is, you're going to forget a lot of things in life. It's true. We're going to forget things. We're going to forget people's names. We're going to forget where we place something. We're going to forget our wife at the gas station while we're driving. I don't know. Maybe. I hope not. But we can't forget how much God loves us. And we can't forget that we serve a faithful God that will never leave us or forsake us. I want to finish things up this morning a little bit differently. We're going to do something that I used to do with my youth group back in the days. We're going to actually take a few moments to write some letters. We're going to write letters to God. Have you ever thought about that before? Write letters to God. In just a minute, I'm going to have ushers come, and they're going to pass you out. They're together here. A little page that says letters to God and an envelope. They're going to pass that out to you. And what I want you to do is I'm going to give you about 10, 15 minutes here to take a moment. You've got pens in the seat backs in front of you. To take a moment and to write a letter to God. As we walk into 2015, I told you, we forget our resolution. We forget our goals. We forget those things that we want to do differently. And I want you to just take a moment to think, Lord, what are your, or to think and ask, what are the goals that you have for this year? What are some things that you want to do? What are some things that you want to see God do in and through you this year? I don't care. Whatever you want to write to God, I want you to write this letter out. But think about this, because what's going to happen is I'm going to have you take that letter, I'm going to have you fold it up, I'm going to have you put it in the envelope, I'm going to have you seal it, and I'm going to have you address it to yourself, okay? And then when we leave this morning, I'm going to have you drop it in. The ushers will stand out there with some bins. I'm going to have you drop it in there. And in 6 months, the church is going to mail this to you. And in 6 months, you're going to get the letter that you wrote today to God. And it's going to be a reminder to you. You're going to open it up and you're going to say, you're going to read these things. Lord, I want to lose 40 pounds by February, you know. Lord, I'm just kidding. I'm just making up things. But it's going to be a reminder and an encouragement to you. Maybe there's some things that you're hoping will happen. Or maybe today you're going to write some things that God's done for you. And maybe when you open that in 6 months, you're going to be going through some difficult times and you're going to look at this and you're going to say, God did this. He did this. He did this. Thank you, God. And it's going to encourage you. I don't know what this is going to be to each of you, but I'm going to give you some time to write some things out to the Lord, to seal it up, address it to yourself. Hopefully you know your address. All right? Address it to yourself, and then we'll drop it off on the way out here. We're going to finish with worship, so I'll bring us back together here, but I'll give some time for you guys to write some things. And if you need some extra time when we finish to finish it up, that's fine. But then I want them, because I'm not going to open them. I want you to seal them. All right? I won't use the steam either to look and go, ooh, what did they write? No. But I want to send these to you in 6 months so that they can be reminders of what you want to see happen in your life this year, because we so easily forget the things that we want to do. We so easily forget those things that God puts upon our heart, and this will be a way to help you remember. Sound good? Let me just pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for 2015, Lord, a new year, a new opportunity, Lord, to be lights that shine bright for you, Lord, a new opportunity to live life differently this year, Lord. Lord, I know that there are things that we will forget. We're forgetful people. But Lord, I pray that this year we will not forget you. I pray, Lord, that we will continue to grab hold of those opportunities, Lord, just to live out your purpose, not ours, Lord, to live out the life that you've called each of us to live out, Lord. And Lord, I just pray over these things that were written down, Lord, that they would be encouragements to us. And I just pray, Lord, your timing. I trust in that, Lord, when they open them up in 6 months, Lord, that you would just use them to speak life and truth and encouragement to them. Lord, that they would be a reminder of you and our desire to live our life for you to the fullest, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray as we kind of wrap up with worship this morning, Lord, that you just allow these things to be sealed in our heart, Lord, that as we walk out of this place today, that, Lord, we won't forget what you've spoken to us. I pray that every Sunday, Lord, that we don't just forget and go back to our mundane lives on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and all that, Lord, but that we become people who really learn this year to live life for you to the fullest, Lord, that every day is about you. It's about your calling upon our life, Lord, to love you, to serve you, and wherever we're at, Lord, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our communities, Lord, as we walk through the grocery store, as we walk through our kids' schools, Lord, whatever it may be, or if we ourselves are in school, Lord, in whatever we do, Lord, that you help us just to truly live our lives for you, to be faithful, to live the lives that you've called us to live, Lord. That's our heart. That's our prayer. That's our desire, Lord. We thank you for these things. May you just seal these things to our heart, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.